Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. We're on day two of talking about Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon. Isn't that a cool title? I love that title. It is a Catholic woman's guide to spiritual warfare, and it's coming out in November from Ave Maria Press. To learn more, go to AveMariaPress.com. We are going to actually get into the book today. Yesterday, I was just so inspired by what I had read that I did read a little bit from the book, but there was this is what I love about spiritual reading, and the way that it inspires each heart differently to encounter Christ in a whole new way. And I'm a big believer in spiritual warfare. I mean, Pope St. John Paul II, that's how you do it. I know it makes like you think you should say St. Pope, but no, it's Pope St. John Paul II. I had to look that up once. It's like one of those English, I'm an English major, so it's like one of those English major dork things. Like, how do I correctly say this? Catholic dork mixed in with English major dork. Anyway, so point, yes, I will get to it, is, my computer decided to update. Yes, I'm still live. There we go. ADHD girl does not need things popping up on her screen when she's trying to talk. See, spiritual warfare. It is real. So I believe in spiritual warfare. As Pope John Paul II said, the greatest tactic of the devil is to make us believe he's not real. Like once he gets us to believe that he is not real, that there is no devil, that there is no hell, he's won. And not knowing our enemy gives our enemy a lot of room to move. You don't know when they're going to strike. You don't know how they're going to strike. And that can really lead to a lot of fear. But in our book this week, Fearless, Sonia Corbett is going to show us how with Christ, there is no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be anxious because he has won victory over death. He has won victory over sickness. He has won victory over all the pain and drama of this world. He's won, but it's really hard because we're in this world and we can't see the next one. And so I know for me, that is very anxiety producing for me. But I went to see my spiritual director this week. His name is Deacon Jerry Ryan. He and I have been together now for over 8 years, I think, somewhere around that. Because like, everything is like before and after adopting faith. Like my whole life is kind of based on that date. So in 2009, we brought Faithy home from China. So actually, almost exactly, it was November. We left on October 30th of 2009, so we're coming up on our 7th year with her. She's so special. Anyway, I should do a show someday just talking about my adoption. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do an adoption story. Maybe I'll do it on Monday, on Halloween. If I don't, I invited a woman on to talk about children's books and things to prepare us for Advent, but if she doesn't come on, I haven't heard from her yet, I'll do my adoption story. Okay, yes, I know. I'm doing my planning while I'm live. Well, you know, we're friends. We can do this. You'll let me know if you think that would be fun. It's just such an incredible story. Speaking of incredible stories, so talking to my spiritual director, Deacon Jerry, and you know, just sharing some of the insights and the things that have been happening. We hadn't seen each other in about a month. And he just paused for a moment and he thought, you have such an incredible relationship with heaven. How how in not inspiring exactly how he said it, but you know, like how incredible that if more people saw that, more people knew that, like what that would do for their faith. So I really want to do more to share that that line between that veil between heaven and earth is so thin, and yet we think it's so iron curtainish. You know, like we have Berlin walls up, thinking, you know, there's this big barrier between heaven and earth, but really, it's just a very thin veil. And if we give our hearts to Christ, if we really allow him to move within us, that veil becomes thinner and thinner. And one of the things that we have to do is acknowledge that there is an enemy, acknowledge that there are things that make us afraid, that there are things that we don't understand. Like really a good self-knowledge. I feel like that is one of my greatest gifts that the Lord has given me, is a good self-knowledge. Lately on that retreat when I was in confession, the priest actually said that to me when we finished. He said, I think that your self-awareness will serve you well in whatever God has called you to. And I think that when we know ourselves, we know what we're afraid of. We know where our strengths are, our gifts are. And we recognize that God is real. And I know that can be hard because we don't see him, but he really does make himself known. But we can't acknowledge God without acknowledging the devil. And we don't need to give him our time and our attention, but we have to believe that he is real so that we acknowledge his existence. He is the enemy, and that we are prepared. Like we put on that armor of God, as St. Paul tells us. We have the scriptures and we have the traditions and we have all of these wonderful things that the Lord gives us, his word to protect us, his love to help us to endure, and the hope and his promise. He keeps his promises. And there's so much to unpack each and every day when it comes to knowing God. And it is a daily, 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 daily. Did I mention it's daily? We have to each and every day encounter Christ in some way. You know, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It's a very, very simple, simple equation. Prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Any of these, all of these, each day will bring us closer to Christ, will help us to encounter him in just a real and powerful way. And I think spiritual reading is one of the ways that I have been really gifted to do that, you know, how other people have encountered. And the one thing I love the most about Sonia Corbett is that she is the scripture evangelista. Like she is the Bible. Is she called a scriptural evangelista? So look that up, or the Bible evangelista. But basically, the woman just is dripping in scripture, and that's wonderful. She's a convert. She comes from the Protestant faith, where they are really one of the greatest gifts I think I've gotten from my Protestant friends is their love of scripture, and knowing that as Catholics we're the ones who transcribed it. We're the ones, you know. We can read it. We can engage in it. And I love reading Sonia's work. Again, this book this week is Fearless. And she starts on Conquer Your Demons, Part 1, with the fearless battle is you have to acknowledge the enemy. She writes, I feared being criticized, unseen, unloved, marginalized, and ridiculed. I worried and obsessed about failure, worthlessness, aloneness, disappointment, death, parenting my own children the way my father parented, and getting what I wanted and needed. I was anxious and terrified. Does that sound like anybody you know besides me? I grew so sick of it, she writes. Are you in a season or place of fear and anxiety? Yes, Sonia. Yes, I am. And thank you for sending your book at just the right moment. I love also the way that throughout her books, Unleashed was her first one from Ave Maria Press, and now this one, Fearless, she calls the reader dear one. And it's so her. It's not a fake. It's so Sonia to say, dear one, does fear of what lies ahead of the future hold you back from throwing yourself completely into the arms of God? Why, yes. Yes, it does. Absolutely. This is where I am right now. I am petrified of the future. I am petrified that I won't be able to accomplish the things that are on my heart to do. I have always been afraid that I would die young. I know I shared this last week, but I remember the very first moment I heard the word cancer. I remember the very first time somebody my age passed away. I remember praying in high school, Lord, please don't let me die before I graduate. And then after graduation, saying, Lord, please don't let me die before I get married. And then after being married, please, Lord, don't let me die before I have a child. And then, of course, please don't let me die before the children are grown or that I can raise them. And each one, like the Lord knows my heart, and it comes from such a place of not understanding what eternal life looks like and not living eternally minded and completely surrendering myself to God. Because as Deacon Jerry reminded me, in that moment, there is such a grave of death, which each one of us, no one gets out of this alive, right? Each one of us has to eventually has to face that. And he says, in that moment, there is such a grace and such a peace that you have nothing to fear. But if you spend your whole time worrying about that very moment, then you'll never live the life that God has given you. You have to embrace and enjoy this moment that God has given you, and live a life abundantly. Jesus said in the Gospels, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. In my fear and my anxiety, I don't think I'm living an abundant life. We come back from these messages. We're going to look more at Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon, a Catholic woman's guide to spiritual warfare, coming out in November from Ave Maria Press. If you want to join the conversation today, give me a call at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm sharing with you a new book from my dear friend, Sonia Corbett. She also has a show here on Breadbox Media. You can catch it on the weekends, Pursuing the Summit. We're looking at her new book called Fearless, which is perfectly timed for my life right now. I don't know about you, but I need to become fearless. She actually, in the next part I was going to read to you, it says that, what did she write? Perhaps one of the saddest realities in the church today is the number of Christians who live every day with the type of paralyzing anxiety and fear that I had. Excuse me. And I do feel like I have just been kind of coming out of a cocoon of paralyzing fear, not doing anything besides spending my whole life on WebMD or just overwhelmed with fear. Like, all my prayers have been very self-absorbed, very much about myself, just looking for this peace, but not living. And that's not what God wants for us at all. He says, the peace that I give you is not as the world gives, but as I give. His peace is something so special, yet our anxieties about the future or about our lives, our children, our work, our money, all of that, or all of the above, check, check, check for me. it keeps me from embracing the life that the Lord has. And I know that early in Pope Francis's, I almost said his reign. I don't think that's the word I want, but in his papacy said, nobody wants, or no one is going to be convinced of the blessing of Christianity if they see these sourpuss Christians. Like, if you looked at my life and you saw my fear, my anxiety, my worry, my you know, my crankiness, you might be like, oh, she's a Christian. No, I don't want that. Like, and it's not like I have to walk around with this fake smile all the time either. But there has to be some joy in my heart that says, okay, even though my circumstances are difficult or my fears and my anxieties are real, they're hereditary. It's not all situational. You know, I was talking with some family members and we were thinking about our grandmother who took a Valium every day. And I'm sure her mother before her was a worrywart. My mother is very much a worrier. We've kind of all talked about, you know, both my sons deal with depression and anxiety. It is a hereditary thing. I do believe that there's medical science behind it all, but there's also the world that creates anxiety. So I think that with this firm foundation of faith, it really does help us to overcome some of the anxieties. We need counseling is necessary. In some cases, medication is necessary. In some cases, I shared that after in 2007 or 8, I was on medication for anxiety. And then I went on a trip to pick up my daughter in China and left my medication at home. And when I came home, I felt strong enough after that experience to kind of wean myself off and go again without medication. But at the last year, I think maybe going through menopause, hormonal changes, I know TMI, but hey, we're friends. I'm feeling like I'm losing control again of that anxiety, and it's starting to have a physical effect on my body. So I'm trying the as needed stuff and it's helping. I definitely feel like I need to take it probably more often than I have been taking it, but it's helping. And I'm also trying to rebuild this foundation of faith. I've gotten away from the scriptures. Instead of, looking to God for that strength and that comfort, going to adoration more often, spending more time in the scriptures, just really surrendering myself to God, I've let myself become very self-imploded, looking at myself. And again, self-knowledge is important, but God is more important. And linking myself to Him is way more important. I'm so sorry. I'm not sure what's up with my voice today. Maybe it's the change of yesterday being 80 degrees and today being 60 degrees. Who knows? My son didn't even spray the Axe. So that's not it. She writes, Sonia Corbett in her book Fearless, coming out in November from Ave Maria Press, writes, even seasoned, quote unquote, seasoned Christians struggle with the temptation to fear, often because of the severity of their suffering of circumstances. Is this you, dear one? Yep. It seems, she writes, we have come to consider our depression, anxieties, and fears as issues of hereditary chemistry, biology, culture, psychology, geography, our modernity. I hate big words, but never as spirit. In agreement with Pope Paul VI and John Paul II, Pope Francis said, quote, maybe Satan's greatest achievement in those times has to make us believe that he does not exist and that all can be fixed on a purely human level. Yet, she writes, spirit is real. In fact, spirit is the basis of all reality, as we are part human, are we part human, part animal? Are we simply human animals, as science tells us? If so, what role does human spirit play then in my daily existence? But we are not. We are human and spiritual. We have a soul. We have a spiritual element. So we can't just take care of the human part. We need to look at the spiritual part. There is a balance. There's an interplay. The realm of spirit, Sonia Corbett writes, is changeable, intangible, and scientifically unquantifiable. Yet it is just as real, quote unquote, real, and in some ways even more important than the physical realm. For it is in the realm of the intellect and the will that determines both our actions and our eternal destiny. Wow. Fear, she continues, is rooted in this spiritual realm. We're about to study the cosmic role that every soul occupies in time and history. But before we do, we better establish this firm foundation. As she continues, at its deepest root, fear is a spiritual battle with a spiritual enemy. Right? I believe that. It really is. Because I've been to counseling, I've done medication, I've done spiritual direction, I went to the doctor, like, no matter how much I'm told it's okay, I'm fine, nothing to worry about, I still battle this. I still worry. I still am convinced that there's something wrong, or that, I get wrapped up in my head, head. I need to get out of my head. I think sometimes women, maybe by our nature, maybe by our roles, maybe whatever, I think we spend a lot of time alone and a lot of time in our own head. And I'm an outgoing person. I have lots of friends. I've been very blessed, and I'm active and out, but I do still spend a lot of time alone and in my head. And as a writer, it's probably worse, because, to write, you have to be alone. I don't work in an office. I'm home, and I think the internet does help kind of get me. Sometimes it helps because it gives me a little social interaction. I can talk to my sister and my cousin. We talk all day long, but also social media brings in more of things to worry about. Much, much more things to worry about. So it can be like that double-edged sword. But I think spending a lot of time in our own heads and all by ourselves is, it can be very difficult. So I think one of the things that I personally have to look at doing is spending more time with people spiritually, talking about our faith. And I do the Monday night Bible study at my church, and it was my small group at my home. And now I've moved it to the church, and part of me misses that intimacy of the small group and the friends that I had here. But part of me realizes that this is something that the Lord's put on my heart to do now. So perhaps when Kevin's not in school, that has his school break, maybe I can do some more bringing my friends together for short-term stuff. I'll definitely be doing some Advent and Lent special missions with my friends, bringing them back together, but really connecting ourselves, yoking ourselves with like-minded women, men and women, and letting God speak to us through them, spending a little less time alone, secluded in our own head. There's definitely another trick of the devil, is to isolate us, to make us feel like we're the only ones, to make us feel like we're alone, to really block the voices of God, the voice of God speaking through the voices of others. So I'm just so excited that Sonia's book showed up this week. It's a perfect timing. Fear, she writes, is not from God ever. Fear is not from God ever. By fear, I do not mean, she writes, the necessary rational reaction to actual danger or simple emotion. I do not mean fear of the Lord spoken by the Bible. I mean abiding, paralyzing, oppressive fright and anxiety about a perceived future and its imagined threats. This is the working definition of the word that will be used throughout the book. So when we're talking about fear, we're talking about that, how did she put it? The abiding, paralyzing, oppressive fright and anxiety about a perceived future. The scriptures tell us not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, but to live in the present. The present is a gift. And some of the scriptures she shares as we go to break, I just want to put these in your heart. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. That's from 2 Timothy 1:7. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's from Ephesians 6:12. When we come back, we're going to look more at Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Oh,
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am sharing with you today Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless, which I love because it's so filled with scripture. I have just been, my heart has been very much on scripture lately, feeling that the Lord has been telling me to spend more time in His Word. It's there that we hear His voice. We know how He will, as much as He will reveal of how He thinks. We never want to think we know God completely, because then that's just so arrogant. He is God, we are not. But in His Word, we get to really, He really reveals Himself to us. So people will say to me, how do you, you know, hear God's voice? And my mother, I shared, once said to me, you talk about Jesus like He's your best friend. And how do I know Him so well? From His Word, truly, from prayer, sacrament, and scripture. But it's in reading His Word that truths are revealed, that I have those words deep in my heart, that when I am struggling, I can pull from them. But you have to continue in it. You have to read it all the time, because as, you know, time passes, your memory gets weaker and weaker. You've ever had somebody pass away that you love, you know, you think that you're never going to forget the way they look, but it starts to fade. And that's why we have pictures. We go back and we look at them. We refresh our memories. And that's what we need to do with scripture. We need to spend time with it and memorize it the best we can, but then we need to go back and refresh our memory. And one of the things that I love about Sonia Corbett's books is that she is just scripturally rich, and she shares God's word with us in such a beautiful and powerful way. So we're talking again about her book, Fearless, and she writes, actually she quotes, Saint Anthony said, "Fear not, 'tis but an artifice of the evil one to distract you." She goes on to ask us, what am I distracted from? What am I really afraid of? If we cannot or will not acknowledge the reality of a spiritual battle and a spiritual enemy, we will be continually manipulated, paralyzed, and overcome by terror. Terror. Sorry. In Massachusetts, it's terror. We will be spiritually sick, she writes, ineffective and impotent. Our lives will be consumed in fertility and fear. Futility and fear. That's from Psalm 78:33. Lord have mercy, she writes. So cute. That's so true. You know, she goes on, let me just read what she has to say. The devil's existence is a matter of infallible revelation. Jesus Himself, she reminds us, taught the reality of a personal evil enemy and left us with a liberation prayer in the Our Father, although almost always translated as deliver us from evil. The last line literally means deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from the person of Satan. Pope Francis reminds us, Sonia continues, man's life on earth is warfare. John Paul II encourages us to take this challenge seriously. Spiritual combat is another element of life which needs to be taught anew and proposed once more to Christians today. It is a secret and interior art, an invisible struggle in which we engage every day against the temptations, the evil suggestions that the demon tries to plant in our hearts. Some people worry that studying evil will bring evil against us. That is not true. She goes on to tell us that, again, that's another tactic. If we don't give him any attention, then nothing will come to us. But I can tell you right now, the more time and attention you give to God, the more attention of the devil you're going to get. However, covered by the grace of God, by your closeness to Him, the closer you are to God, the closer God comes to you, and you are even more protected from the things that you worry and fear. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, Peter tells us, seeking someone to devour. Yeah, I prefer not to be lion food. I prefer not to be the devil's fodder. I am trying very hard in my own life to ground myself, build a firmer foundation on prayer, sacrament, and scripture, to stay yoked to God and to Christ, and not to let this world, the shifting sand underneath me, as the scripture says, wash away. And recently, the Lord has just really put on my heart just to keep reminding myself and to remind you that this is, that he is real. And, you know, last week or the week before, I had like what seems like the most simplest revelation, but truly was a remarkable revelation when I realized that Christ was real, that he was a historic figure, that people, real people, saw him. They watched him perform miracles. They touched him. They listened to him preach. They followed him. They were with him. And then they watched him carry a cross and suffer and die on a cross. And they saw the spear pierce his side and blood and water come out. They saw him taken down, placed in his mother's arms, placed in a tomb, dead. And then 3 days later, they saw him alive. They ate with him. They touched him. That encounter with Thomas, doubting Thomas, you know, I won't believe until I touch the wounds. And Jesus says to him, go ahead, feel them. Feel my hands, touch my side. And then he says the most amazing thing that's meant for you and I. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. How hard it is to be that blessed one who does not see and yet believes. But God is so generous and understands that we need to feel and see and use our senses because we are human as well as spiritual. And he will provide those God-sidence moments, those signs and wonders, the thinning of the veil so that we know that he is real. And I don't know why, after all these years, realizing that this event is as real as George Washington's, you know, battles or the man landing on the moon. Okay, I know some people don't all believe in that, but I do. I believe we went to the moon. Like, these things that we take, I wasn't there. I didn't see them. I wasn't alive, but yet I believe in them. I don't distrust the history of my country. I don't distrust the history, but yet I didn't really take this idea of Christ as truth and always trying to wrestle with the belief, the faith of the unseen, the hope in what I cannot see, which is still there, but to realize that it's the foundation of it, again, that word, like I want to just really base today on a firm foundation that was also given to me during confession on my retreat, is to just build up that firm foundation of faith, that it's based on events that are real. Mary lived. Mary gave birth. That child grew up. He did miracles. He died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again, and he will judge the living and the dead. Like, when we say that creed, we are pronouncing what we believe. And how much do we really take ownership in that and really believe what we are saying? In believing it, then our hearts become attached even deeper to God. And this fear that we live with has less and less power over us. Less power. She writes, so back to Sonia Corbett's book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon. The Bible says our enemy is the devil, 1 Peter 5:8, an evil, objective reality, according to the Church Catechism 328, if you want to look that up. Whatever the less discerning theologians may say, the devil, as far as Christians' belief is concerned, is a puzzling but real, personal, and not merely symbolic, presence. He is a powerful reality, a baneful superhuman freedom directed against God's freedom. And that's a warning from Pope Benedict XVI. Scripture itself, Sonia writes, does not furnish systematic or comprehensive information regarding the exact nature of this impressive enemy. Most of what we know about Satan and demons from Scripture is scattered and sometimes simply hinted at throughout the Bible. But 2,000 years of patristic and theological church history helps clarify what is there. And as we know, the church teaches about angels. And one of my biggest aha moments for me was recognizing that the devil is a fallen angel. He is not opposite of God. He does not have the powers that God has. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, omni-awesome. Just made that up. I know, you know, he could tell. And he is victorious over all of this. So to keep reminding ourselves of that is pretty cool stuff. When we come back, we're going to look at more of Sonia Corbett's new book, Fearless. We are going to move a little further into, she goes here all about angels. Well, I talked a lot about angels for a whole week when I had on Mike Aguilina and his incredible book, Angels of God. So I'm going to put a link to that podcast or those podcasts. If you want to know more about angels, you can always send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. And, you know, if you have a moment to, speaking of breadboxmedia.com, to check out Friend of the Show for just $10 or more a month, you could become a premium member, which includes your choice of a cute little prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet, extra entries in every giveaway, and a once a month, very cool Google Hangout. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. We'll be.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Over on Reconciled to You, my website, Reconciled to You, if you go to the radio show page, you'll see that there's a pretty cool giveaway still going on. It is for one lucky winner to get 8 copies of Walk in Her Sandals, the book from Kelly Walquist and her and company. It's a wonderful Lenten faith sharing Bible study. It's incredible. Again, I'll give you the link for that, for the shows we did with Kelly and two of the other authors. And I'm also doing a blog series, which I've got to be honest, I've been a little lax in. I hate when they do that. I hate when I get these like great ideas, like I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then I just fall apart and don't follow through. I hate that. And that's part of my anxiety, really, and the struggle that I'm having right now. My anxiety causes me to procrastinate. My anxiety causes me to spend more time in again on WebMD or in fear than in work. So, and I think that this whole ties in so beautifully. That this book is perfectly timed for me. That what a perfect tactic, right, for the devil to keep me from doing the Lord's work. Let's get her so wrapped up in her fear that she doesn't accomplish the things that the Lord has put on her heart. And that brings me such sorrow. I don't know if you have anything like that in your life. Maybe you wish you'd spent more time with here's some of my other ones. Like, I wish I had spent more time playing with my kids when they were little. I wish I spent more time with my kids when they were little. I was a stay-at-home mom, but I also had a daycare and I had a preschool and I was going to grad school. And I know that there's missed moments and I have regrets. There's so many regrets. And I wish I spent more time with my grandparents when they were alive. I wish that I hadn't gone to grad school for what I went for. I wish I'd gone for something else. All these things, right? It's all in the past. And I can't go back and I can't change those. But when you spend time in that regret, and it stops you from moving forward. And that, again, is a tactic of the evil one. He keeps us from being fully who God has created us to be. So we can't change the past. We need to let it go. And God promises in Romans 8:28 to make good of all that we do if we love him. And I think you do. If you didn't, you wouldn't be listening to this. You wouldn't have a seeking heart if you didn't have some desire to love God or some love for him already in your heart. So she goes on to say, yes, Allison just completely lost her train of thought. You're welcome. I have to own up to that stuff when it happens. You probably wonder how often that happens to me when I'm live. Not as much as it used to. The first few months of doing the show, I've been doing it now for over 2 years, I had many, many brain farts. It's like, I would be like halfway through the sentence going, I have no idea where I was going with that, and I'm done. But I was thinking about procrastination, not getting things done, telling you about the giveaway, one lucky winner, 8 copies, go over to reconciledtoyou.com and enter today. And now let's get back to Sonia Corbett's book, Fearless. The study she writes is about fear. There may be a lot in your way right now, dear one, a lot of fear, a lot of pain, a lot of sin, but you don't have to keep living with it. Jesus made sure of that. But what if what you're looking for is not found, but made? She continues, as we saw in the account of the angelic creation of rebellion, so the rebellion really was sin. You know, the greatest sin was pride, that Lucifer wanted to be not like, we were told to be, you know, like God, but he wanted to be God. He wanted to have the powers and be God. And so there's that pride of sin. And we see from that came a lack of order, which produces fear. Fear devours from the inside, Sonia writes. Finding and fighting our way from fear to love requires brutal honesty with Christ about our rebellion and our chaos. What in your life is in chaos and confusion, she asks. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was somebody else's. But what has been wasted and ruined? What is devouring you? Maybe you want to talk to God about it right now. And then she offers a beautiful prayer. Lord, my heart is heavy and broken over. And he'd insert in there what your heart is heavy and broken over. I long for your touch in this area. Only you can bring order and light into the darkness. Lord, I sense you are speaking to me about this particular area of my life. I want to be fearless, but I am being held back by, include there what you're being held back by. Lord, I confess that rebellion against you may have caused or contributed to my circumstances here. Lord, I need to know that your love for me is permanent and unconditional, even during seasons of my life when it's not pleasing to you. And then she encourages that we read 1 John 1:9. And here is something that I have never really seen done. Maybe many years ago, but a very long time since I've remembered this. Here's this incredible way to spend time with God's word that Sonia introduces in her book. Love, love, love this. So she says, read 1 John 1:9. Well, that is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then she tells us to do this most remarkable thing. Find time to sit with this scripture. And you're going to emphasize each word or phrase in turn until you have emphasized them all like this. So the first time you emphasize the word if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and then the rest of it. The next time we would emphasize we. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And then you go on, if we confess. And each time you can meditate for a moment on what word you have just emphasized. What does it mean if we confess? Who's the we? What does it mean to confess? How do I confess? Is it a sin or fault that needs reconciliation? Do I need to get to that sacrament and let God have it in a more profound and tangible way? Or is it something I've just confessed and I'm still, I just need to continue to make myself aware of it, keep offering it to God so that he can grace it and I can be rid of it, whatever it is. You know, there's so many different ways that sin manifests itself in ourselves. And there are sins that you and I will battle our entire lives, like the one that you feel like you're constantly bringing back to Christ in the confessional. And sometimes one day it's just going to disappear. Like, I really battled with gossip. I really enjoyed, I got like a rush out of talking about other people. And it was very difficult for me to give it up. It was easy in some places, but not in other circumstances. And there were certain people that I would fall quickly back into it and other people I would do okay not falling into it. So don't avoid confession if the sin that you're bringing is one you feel like, I'm just always bringing this and I'm not getting any better, because you are. You may not see the minute changes, but every time you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you are a different person. And every time we come to the sacrament, either in the Eucharist or in confession, we are encountering Christ in a very real, real way. In persona Christi is the fancy term that says the priest is there in the person of Christ. And when you encounter him, his grace falls upon you. So you take that sin, whatever it is, and you bring it to Christ in the confessional, and he takes it. And in its place, he gives you grace. He gives you this undeserved yet freely given gift of his Holy Spirit within you. And maybe that grace is quickly pushed aside by the sin again. But I guarantee you, the more often you go, the more often you bring the sin, the stronger that grace is going to be against that sin. And you are going to find that you can battle and go a little longer before you fall back into that to temptation again, whatever it is. Now you go through this, and she gives many different examples throughout the book of different scriptures that we can take and do this with. But I'll tell you, you can do this with every single scripture in the Bible. And what a beautiful way to encounter the scriptures is to take and, again, read it and then take each individual word and go deeper with it. Really meditate upon it. What is God asking you to do? Here's another one that I love. She did James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. What does it mean to resist? Resist the devil. What is the devil in your life? What's the demon that you are fighting right now? Resist the devil. Who is the devil to you? And he will flee. Like, what an amazing promise from God that he will flee from you. One of my other favorites is grow closer to God, step closer to God, or come closer to God, and he will come closer to you. And remember, the closer you are to God, the more protected you are from those things that wish to take you down and pull you away from him. There is such a strength in being yoked to Christ. That's why he tells us to do that. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Put Christ upon you. We put Christ upon us through prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss this. Sonia Corbett, if you've never heard her speak, if you've never had any time to listen to Sonia, please show up tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time, right here on A Seeking Heart. She is hysterical. She's on fire for the Lord, and I love speaking with her about scripture. We're going to finish up tomorrow with her book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Spiritual Warfare, coming out soon from Ave Maria Press. You can go to AveMariaPress.com to pre-order your copy today. Be sure to check out ReconciledToYou.com. Click on the blog. Yesterday was Worth Revisiting Wednesday, and there is over 15 amazing blogs for you to peruse. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.